You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who still likes to build a fort, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome back, folks, to hour number two, act two, as I like to call it, here at Nightlight. Great to have you with me, Conrad Krieger, working the board. We will have more with our guest, Mike Schmidt, in just a moment. If you missed the first part of the show, I will just share our question with you. We've got some great answers. What is your favorite Harrison Ford film? Harrison Ford turned 83. I love when people in the business who know him, and I ran into this a lot in LA, people go, oh, Harry Ford, because they like know him. I was in a meeting once, and the producer said, oh, we'll get Sandy Bullock to do it. Like, it's weird hearing, like, yeah. You get used to hearing regular, they're like showbiz names. But 7,000 Apart is coming up at 7:20. They will be here live, John and Amelie, talking about all their dates all throughout the state before they head back to Sweden like they do. And they're going to perform live in the studio, which will be great. We also talked about Conrad's tattoo, the Emmys. What else, Con? What am I missing here? What do we...
I
said something funny before.
Well, we talked about the nude cruise as well.
The nude cruise. Conrad's going on a nude cruise. He tried to get on last year, but he sent a selfie and they said no. Now he's going to try again.
Hey, this is my year.
We could do a remote from a nude cruise. I would do that.
Yeah. I don't know if we should show a picture on that.
Yeah, probably not. We can't. We get FCC stuff.
Yeah.
But lots of fun stuff happening here tonight. Great to have you with me. Text in, folks, and I will read your text on the radio. And if you're watching us, if you're watching the radio, text it on the stream. That's always fun, too. And we'll talk about Harrison Ford some more. But right now, I'm going to ask our current guest, comedian and podcast host of the 40-Year-Old Boy podcast, which you have to check out, Mike Schmidt. What is your favorite? You have a favorite Harrison Ford movie, Mike?
Well, it's funny. I've been revisiting Harrison Ford recently. Okay. I've never seen the Clancy movies.
Seen
any of them. Yeah, I've never seen Clear and Present Danger, Red October. I've never seen any of them. So yeah. I have, those are on my agenda. I'm not doing this to be hipster Joe, because look, we all know Star Wars, we all know Indiana Jones. These are amazing movies, and those are the clear choices. But I think Witness, of course, is someone I'm sure everybody's brought that up. I'm going to throw in The Conversation.
That was mine. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. From early in the 70s and a Gene Hackman movie vehicle, I guess you would say, and Francis Ford Coppola. And he's not in it a ton, but he's important when you see him, in the beginning. And you should see The Conversation. It's real great. And also, just after on The Conversation, he was Tom Branigan in an episode of Petrocelli.
So that is something.
Go find that online somewhere. I'm sure you can dig that out of a grave somewhere on YouTube.
It's funny you say that about The Conversation, because he plays Robert Duvall, right? Robert Duvall has a cameo. It's more than a cameo, but he's not on screen much. But Harrison Ford plays like his assistant secretary. And he kind of comes across as this guy that could either wring your neck or just be a lapdog. And you don't really know. And I think it's because he's such a good actor. Like, I thought he was going to kill someone in the movie at some point. But yeah, he did a really good job in it. And the Clear and Present Danger, the Clancy ones, those are good movies, in my opinion, but like, that was right on the cusp of when Hollywood fell in love with flawed characters. And Harrison Ford is like Mr. Boy Scout in those. It's kind of annoying. Even before the flawed characters were a cool thing, I was like, this guy's like too perfect. That's why he's a doctor. He never cheats. He doesn't drink, whatever. But they're fun watches, anyway.
Well, I when I first came on, you read from a listener that The Fugitive was a choice, and I'm sure you've mentioned it a couple times.
Yeah.
But it is phenomenal. I remember seeing it in the theater and just going, this is crazy how good it is. And it also has, quite frankly, one of my favorite eating scenes I've ever seen in a movie. And it's so ridiculous.
The hospital?
But it's like, yes. You know how you can put yourself in a position? He's so hungry because he's been running and all that. And he dyes his hair. He cuts his beard. He shaves. He does that, by the way, perfectly. He's literally using a bottle cap and a lighter to shave and somehow looks amazing. And then he steals that guy's breakfast and wolfs the eggs right off the plate, and it looks so delicious. Even though it's hospital eggs, I'm like, nothing's ever looked that delicious in my life.
That is so, that's why I love having you on the show, Mike. I love those little nuanced things you pick up in movies like that, because I remember kind of thinking the same thing, but I've never verbalized it or talked about it. So
but I can't believe you, because you said it, you knew instantly. You know what I mean? It's like I don't drink at all.
Right.
I'm not an alcohol guy, but if you watch Django Unchained, Christoph Waltz pulls two beers from a tap, and I go, I've never wanted a beer more in my life than this. And then DiCaprio and Madsen, both in separate movies, DiCaprio in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Madsen in Kill Bill 2, make margaritas in a blender, cracking the ice cubes into it and then shaking it to make it mix. And I'm going, I don't drink, but they look delicious. The drinks, both of them look incredible. Like I just want them in my mouth.
Cinematic margaritas. Nice. That's awesome.
Yes, sir.
You were telling a story about meeting Michael Madsen. So I'd love to have you finish that.
Oh, so the closer I got to the table, the closer I started to realize that maybe, Michael had joined us in body, but maybe not fully in spirit. he might've had a few. He might have, Christoph Waltz might have pulled a couple for him, and they tippled a little bit before he showed up. And I realized that Virginia was there as kind of a caretaker. She was there making sure he was cool and okay and everything was fine. He wasn't out of control. He was going through the motions of signing and smiling. But you could kind of see he was fogged over, like he wasn't really there. And then I got to the table, and I didn't want to bother him and I didn't want to say anything. But he looked up and he gave me the smile, and I gave him the finger gun shoot, and he looked at me, he did the same thing, like the psh back, and he signed my DVD and my one from my buddy Max. And I told him my story about seeing the movie twice, and he could, and just a lot of, all right. Yeah.
Like, that's cool.
But then, so I have his autograph. I still have the box with the autograph on it. And then, Pardo met him in a place, like not a bar, a nightclub or whatever. And Madsen was hammered. And he's like, I got to get Schmitty his autograph. If I see him and I don't get it, I'm insane, right?
Yeah.
And Pardo tells me this story, builds it up. And then he hands me a cocktail nap and he goes, here you go. And it looked like an EEG. Like, I mean, you wouldn't know it if he had a stroke in the middle of it. I mean, it just was a mess. You know what it looked like? The embroidery on a square dancer's shirt. It was that awful. Just like this endless series of loops. I threw it out. I mean, and it's funny, my friend's like, you should have said it. It's a great story. I go, but I couldn't prove anything because nobody would believe it anyway.
Right.
It's so awful. But yeah, but credit to Jimmy for getting it. And he handed it to me and just saw my face and laughed. I was like, oh no.
He wasn't, I'm sure, because I know Jimmy, but he could have been playing a joke on you too. No, really, I ran into him and this is his.
It could have been. Yeah, to this day, he could be selling it on me.
I'll share this with you just because Jimmy's been on the show a few times too. And I know we have listeners that really like Jimmy too. And he, I think if I told you this, please stop me, but I had this horrible shirt on the last time he was on. It was December. It was cold. And I just grabbed something. I knew I was going to have to stay over in Green Bay because it was a blizzard. So I grabbed the first warmest shirt I could find. And I looked like I was out of like Columbo or something. I had this suede two-tone shirt on. And I said to Conrad, if Pardo doesn't make fun of this shirt, I'll think he's slipping. Well, honest to God, Mike, he comes on the stream and I immediately see Jimmy's wheels turning and he's looking at my shirt. And as soon as I welcome him to the show, he goes, what's going on with that shirt, friend? What do you got? Something out of the Tim Walls collection there. Beautiful.
I'm going to do this. I'm sorry. Yeah. I know we're pressed.
No, please.
It's not my story to tell, but I'm going to tell it anyway. Jimmy's on a payphone, and our mutual friend, Russ McGarry, walks up to him while he's on the phone. And Jimmy's talking, doesn't even look at him. Russ walks up, and our friend Russ is a distance runner, thin man. He looks like a color forms.
He had Caesar too, that, right? I think.
Yeah, at the time. Yeah. And he walks right up to Jimmy and he just kind of looks at him because they're working together. And Jimmy doesn't even blink. He's on the payphone and he goes, I'm going to have to ask him to hold on for a second because Russ McGarry has arrived and apparently he has AIDS. And then he pauses for the guy on the phone to talk. And then he looks at Russ and goes, Russ, do you have AIDS? He asks him after saying apparently he has AIDS. Russ, do you have AIDS? No, Jimmy. I'm sorry you made me do it.
You're dying on your dance floor.
One more Jimmy story because it's my favorite.
Yeah,
my
please.
Favorite story. He and our mutual friend Pat and a group, they went to a concert in the park. I think it might have been the Knack. Okay, and it was like a free concert in the park in Woodland Hills, and they're all just you're just vibing on a summer. Everybody's having fun and everybody's watching the show and having a good time, and there's a beach ball. Everybody's bouncing a beach ball around. It's just, you know, one of those kind of things. It's a summer crowd. And Jimmy's watching the show. Everybody's watching. And then the beach ball gets bounced over and it comes over and it lands by Jimmy. He picks it up, pulls out a marker and signs it and knocks it back into the crowd as if they were bouncing it the whole time to get it to him for the him. Autograph. Yeah, oh my. Didn't sell it. Like, didn't tell anybody, watch this. Just picked it up, signed it, did that Jimmy wave, you know, and throws it back into the crowd. Oh, how funny is that?
All right, might
be the funniest thing I've ever heard.
That's funny, but I can continue that story, and I probably that night, because this will be the last inside story I tell folks, I swear. But that night, I think they went to Paul Gilmartin's afterwards, and I was there, and they were telling a story about trying to get the Knack to sign their album. And Jimmy said, you know, he's telling the story. He goes, Pat and I are waiting there patiently. And then, you know, a couple of dorks come up and want him to sign something. And everybody kind of looked around the room like, oh, really? It's gorgeous stuff. All right. So we've got about 3 minutes left, Mike. And I don't know if that's time for one, but I would love for you to tell a condensed version of either the time you met Brandon Fraser or Tesh. Because you are an intimidating guy. You're, what are you, 6'3"? You know,
6'2",
you're a big dude, and yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, 3:30 these days or 3:20, whatever.
Nice.
I had a biscuit for lunch. Ha ha, who knows? So, and they're very short stories because they're true. It's what happened. Well, I was at the Virgin Megastore once, and I was walking around, and Brendan Fraser, that in the old days, folks, they used to have displays of video game consoles, and you could play the game in the store. It was under lock and key and plexiglass, but the controller was out, so it was welded to it, but you could kind of play.
I
walked up, yeah, and I'm to his left behind him, and I'm watching, and he's playing, and he's kind of nervous. He kind of glances over at me, and he glances over at me again. And Brendan Fraser, big guy, taller than me, but he's playing. He's just playing the game. And I start, because I'm dumb, I'm like, oh, get him. Oh, dude. Like, I start playing it a little bit. And these little kids start laughing because they're there and we're having fun. Ha ha. And Brendan Fraser's playing. And Brendan Fraser looks again at me twice more. And I go, oh, dude, no, you got to. And the one kid goes, go in the cave or whatever. Says. And Brendan Fraser just looks at me and he goes, I mean, I've never seen a man move this fast. He just goes, it's all you. And he walks away as fast as he can. He lets go of the controller mid game. It's all you. And he goes, and like, kind of a quick brisk and out of the store. I sent him home. I sent him packing. I sent the mummy on his way.
He's like, I'll just buy this.
Yeah. Why am I playing a game? And people know who I am now. I forgot.
Oh, that's so funny.
Same location, Virgin Megastore. I'm with my buddy, Dennis Eggenberg. And at the time we're going to go down to the parking garage. We're splitting. And the elevator opens and John Tesh is inside the elevator. Now, you want to talk about, you tell me I'm intimidating. Both these guys are bigger than me.
Tesh is like 6'6", isn't
he? Yeah. He's a Fred Gwynne wannabe. I mean, he's a monster, dude. So, and also just a giant, you know, horse head. I mean, it looks like a Venetian urn. So we get in and he didn't have a button pushed on the thing when the door opened. So in my brain, I'm like, was that his floor? Like, I don't even know. So we get in and I punch our floor. And I go, what floor, Mr. Tesh? And he reaches out as fast as anybody. And he just goes, bing, bing, bing. And he hits open door. And then he runs out of his car, runs out of the elevator to his car. Runs from us. Because the second I recognize him, I guess he went, because he wouldn't let the doors close. He's just like, I just go, hey, what floor, Mr. Tesh? Bing, 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 run.
Anything.
I looked at Dennis. I'm like, what did we do, man? And you hear his car peel out.
Dude, you are the best. Thank you so much, so nice. Mike. Always fun. Let's do it
Love
again.
Love
you, man. You. Talk to you soon.
Love you too.
Thanks, Mike. That's Mike Schmidt. Check out the 40-Year-Old Boy podcast. And as always, so much fun talking to Mike. We have a great in-studio guest coming up next, folks. 7,000 apart. You will not want to miss this. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Let me tell you.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. Hey, it's Tuesday, folks, and we are on the radio talking about all the stuff we love to talk about. Movies and music and comedy and TV and lots of cool stuff happening in Wisconsin. And we are about to kill two birds with one stone because my next guest is providing a lot of entertainment in the community and doing great stuff when it comes to music. 7,000 Apart, John Anomaly. How are you guys?
Hi. Hello. We're so good. Thank you for having us here.
So great. I think the last time you were here, it was my birthday, right? And you
yes.
sang happy birthday, which
yes.
is very cool.
That was so fun.
And I just want you guys to know that I, whenever your name comes up with other people, I take full credit for having discovered you.
Oh, yeah. That's totally fine.
You're okay with
that?
Yeah, 100% credit.
It's
probably
you.
A big line of people that do that. But anyway, it's great to see you guys. Welcome.
Thank you. It's great
thanks
to see
for
you
having
too.
Us. It's really fun to be back.
How are things going?
Really good. We're very busy.
Yeah.
Summer's like the most intense time, but it's also the most fun time. And so we're having a blast and we're exhausted.
In a good way, right?
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah. You said you guys were lower energy tonight, and that's okay. But
it's lower.
We'll ramp up. Don't you worry.
You've earned it, I think. You have a jam-packed schedule. Let's talk about this first because I just printed this up. If you're watching on the stream, maybe we don't have a... Con, are we on the stream? Oh, okay. Got to turn the TV on there. But your schedule is insane. You've got all these Wisconsin dates. First of all, do you go outside of Wisconsin? Typically?
Not typically. We used to before COVID a little bit more. Okay. And then it's just like, it's so expensive touring outside. Like when you can't, when you have to like start doing like hotel rooms and stuff.
Yeah.
Because now we can just drive home. And so that saves a lot. But we did do one show in Chicago at one of the biggest festivals down there. So that was really, really fun. Yeah.
Pre-COVID, we were sleeping on a lot of floors.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. You reach a point where you're just like done with that.
It's a little bit. Yeah. And it's more like, since we have shows here and people aren't sick of us yet, we might as well keep going, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think you guys put out enough new material that you don't have to worry about that. But you've got July 18th at the Rock Winery in Baraboo. Mm-hmm. So you're heading south.
Yep.
Then you've got on the 19th in Ishwaubenon at is Jesse McCartney. Is that the name of
yeah,
the
Yeah, we're opening. Oh, okay. It's our biggest show of the year. On Saturday, so we're very excited.
For sure, it's like one of the three biggest ones this summer, for sure.
Okay.
It's for the Titletown District, they bring in national like touring bands.
Yeah.
And they're bringing Jesse McCartney this year. And last year we opened up for the ex-ambassadors there, and it was like 2,000 people or something. And
wow.
A really good time, right by Lambeau.
I'm just going to play really dumb here because in Baraboo, it says The Rock Winery.
Yeah.
And here it says Jesse McCartney. I thought that was the name of a bar. And then I realized who you were talking about. Yeah.
No, he was like a big star in the 2000s. A big teen idol,
What's it like when you guys open for someone like that? Is it, are the crowds better because they paid more money to see a headliner and they're like really zoned in on the show, or does it matter?
So we haven't done a ton of them, and these are actually free.
Okay.
So the Titletown puts on these free shows. Yeah. So, I mean, they're just happy to be there. And it's cool because, like, I mean, they're not there for us. But at the same time, like, they are there to be entertained. And if we can provide that, then they're happy. And so we do, like, a little mix of originals and covers.
Okay.
And
they go in with no expectations or they assume they you're going to be bad.
You know? They don't expect
a
local
bar
band.
Is low.
Yeah.
So
if we can be, like, even a little bit above that, they're
so you guys go in there and rock them. And then it's, like, you got your – that's so cool. All right, then you've got Sturgeon Bay. Have you guys ever played Marinette? It's an hour north, right up along the water, right before you get to the UP.
Didn't we play what's it called? The County Fair in Marinette.
Oh, yeah. We did do that last year.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking at this list going, wait a minute. Sturgeon Bay is smaller than Marinette, and they've got 7,000 Apart. How do we get you guys in Marinette?
just got to book us.
All right.
It's that easy.
I'll make a few phone calls. Then you got Sister Bay. You got two different venues in Sister Bay this summer. How does that work? Do people get competitive, or they say, like, you can't play that venue if you play here?
So Wisconsin is really chill. We've only had it happen once where they had, like, a radius cost, as it's called, where they were like, we don't want you to play within this many miles for, like, 2 weeks before and 2 weeks after or something.
Gotcha.
That's only happened once. Otherwise, like, people are really chill.
People come. I mean, like... Yeah. We just had a fan that has been to 50 shows.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we got him a cake.
We got him a cake for 50th show. We were like, I don't know what to sing you, but we'll sing you something, you know? Like,
that's fantastic.
There's not 50th show song or whatever. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Do you have, are you at a point right now where I would imagine you have favorite venues or towns to play? Like when it comes to like crowds or maybe mob mentality, whatever you want to call it, do crowds take on lives of their own when they're watching you guys?
I mean, sometimes I would say like, I don't think we have a favorite because like every crowd is different and we love that. We love when people are like quiet listening. We love when there's like a lot of stuff going on. We love when people come up and dance. We love when there's kids around.
Nice.
We love when there's a more mature audience. Like, I think what we really love is that there is such a wide variety and we're starting, and we always like, we adjust our set list based on the people that we see in the audience and the vibe. Like if you, John and I are doing a duo show at a winery, we'll keep it a lot more low key and we'll do a lot more storytelling.
Different than like Summerfest.
Yeah. Than like Summerfest where you just go song, 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 or like playing at a wedding where people just want to dance. Like it's not the time to tell a story. You know what I mean? Like, so I think playing so many shows, we've learned how to kind of cater to each audience.
Okay.
And it's so cool when you see that working.
You're old pros now. Yeah.
It's useful for the opening slots as well because you can kind of judge the audience and be like, okay, they're going to not like this next song that we had chosen. Mm-hmm. So let's replace that one, you know?
And we make decisions on the fly. Yeah.
That's so cool. Yeah. John and Amelie are here in the studio, 7,000 apart, the rock duo that splits time between here in Northeast Wisconsin and Sweden. They're going to perform after the news. And I'm going to ask you guys, what was I going to ask you? I want to ask you about, I don't know, I'll think of something good. I want to ask you how it went at Summerfest. So we'll do that too after
talk
the news.
About that too.
7,000 apart is in the studio, folks. Do not leave or you will miss their kick-ass performance. That is coming up next. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You gotta get away. I don't know where to go. It's hopeless, so I guess I'll leave it alone. Well, I spent all that day fixing up to go somewhere.
Conrad has a new favorite bumper song because he plays it a lot. That's a great tune, though. Our question of the night was, what is your favorite Harrison Ford movie? Tony the Trucker says, Pete, Harrison Ford movie is Cowboys and Aliens. Was he in that? I don't remember that. I don't think I saw it.
I don't know that other, yeah.
I didn't know he was in it, and I didn't see it. So I'll take your word for it, Tony the Trucker. He says, probably not one of his better-known movies, but still very entertaining. Okay, Tony. Thank you, buddy. Thank you for the text. And then Steve from Florida says, I also like Harrison Ford's famous line toward the end of his movie, Air Force One, get off my plane, as he pushes the bad guy off the end of the plane. That was the movie. I don't know if you guys watch movies a lot, but where I think Steven Seagal got beheaded or something, right?
Oh,
at the beginning of the movie. And it was like, you think he's going to be in it. And it's like, it was a cameo and like a lid came through and killed him or something. Like, I was like, whoa, I love when movies do that. Hey, welcome back to Nightlight. I'm Pete Schwabba. And this is exciting because we have John and Amelie here. They comprise 7,000 apart. They're in the studio. I discovered them and I'll take full credit for that. But they are playing dates all over Wisconsin, folks. So where can people find these dates that I have in my hand?
Yeah, you can just, if you type in 7000apart.com and then just scroll down a little bit, they're all there. Otherwise, 7000apart.com/tour. We put them on Facebook. We put a little like graphic on Instagram.
Bands in town.
Yeah, bands in town.
Okay.
If you just search 7,000 apart, something should pop up.
It'll come up.
Yeah.
Can you imagine having to do this without the interwebs?
Oh my gosh.
Like, what? Like in the 80s or 90s, you had to get on a mailing list, right?
But also, like, that would also be so nice not having to deal with, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, just because also back then, like, the clubs did a lot of, like, promotion and the promoters.
People were looking for it, too.
Yeah.
Very interesting,
They didn't have as much entertainment on, you know, they didn't have online, so they couldn't be entertained there, so they had to go out and do something to be entertained.
You guys were, like, more mysterious then. It was like, and now you're directly contacting
me. Now we're, like, trying to film everything that we do and put it out on the internet.
All right. That would be exhausting. Do you want to play something?
Absolutely.
I know it's your night off. I hate to make you.
It's all good.
Which one are we doing first?
Fever?
This is our latest single. It's called Fever. No, this is
7,000 apart. Here at Nightlight, singing Fever. Love it.
Fever. up, but do you care? So walk it up, but I'm beyond repair. My tempest heating up over all the counts. I'm not sure that I could top it out. This is a bitter pill to try and swallow. Why do we just keep holding on? We know the sickness is just leaving us all. A little taste and then you're gone. You know we're bad for each other like this, but we can quit now. We keep running fast, but we can't outrun. We keep running fast, but we can't outrun this feeling. Around this feeling. Feeling. Around this feeling.
That's awesome. That's a great tune.
Thank you.
I thought you played, when you said Fever, I thought you had played that last time, but that's, I haven't heard that before. That's outstanding. Great song.
I don't think so. Thank you. Yeah, it's new.
Yeah.
It's on the
What's
new album.
What's going on in that song a little bit? I caught most of it, but.
there's so many parts to it, so it's very hard to, are you talking like lyrically or just
like
in general?
Just like, because there was a moment, and this is right where my kind of comedy brain went to, but where you guys looked at each other and you gave each other kind of a cute look. And for those of you listening that don't know, they are a couple, 7,000 apart. They're a married couple. So you guys gave each other a nice look. And I thought, what if they weren't getting along on that day? Would you still have that sort of?
I mean, that's kind of what it is. Like when we were in long distance, so for those who don't know, that's what the 7,000 apart.
We just
is.
Got a text that said, how did they come up with their name?
Oh, yeah. So we were in a long distance relationship for 3 years, where we were 7,000 kilometers apart from each other, which is like 4,382.5 miles ish. And,
after meeting here in Green Bay in high school,
an exchange. I'm from Sweden originally. And so, yeah, our relationship wasn't always great because, like, long distance is really, really hard.
Tough.
And so there were times where, it didn't feel like a good thing necessarily. And we weren't, like, great for each other. But the thing is, like, we were always great for each other when we were together. And so that always, like, trumped everything. You know what I mean? Like,
totally.
Even though things were difficult when we were apart, that was almost a good sign.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we're not supposed to be apart. We're supposed to be together.
Right.
So,
very well.
So, we started writing. So, this was one of those songs that was written about the long distance relationship because we realized we haven't written about it that much just because, you know, people expect it that it was like, oh, it was super great and they had a good time and like everything was beautiful and stuff. And it was like, no. No, it was really bad. It was super, like, it was pretty rough, like, during long distance.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Do you guys, as you get older, and you're a few years removed from high school now, what are you, like, late 20s or something? Okay. Yeah. Sure. but do you go back to that? Like, you said you haven't written about it much, but are there times where you do get nostalgic and you're like, hey, we're missing some great material here because we had a cool story.
Yeah, that's kind of what happened, I think, with this album a bit.
Okay. We, like, we wrote both about, like, who we have been, who we are, and also who we want to be, I think. Yeah. So this was very much like a coming home album in a way, like, and like that's just great. A very encapsulating our story in a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
Can you guys talk about your process, like marrying music with lyrics? I'm going to make an assumption here. I've probably asked you this before. Since you sing, I automatically think you're the lyrics and John is music, but maybe that's not the case. But when you come up with songs, regardless of who writes what, do you have a process where you come up with lyrics first and then you try to marry it to music, or does the music come first?
It's been completely different, all three albums. Okay. The first one, I wrote pretty much everything and then Amelie edited everything.
Okay.
So like we kind of, I'm a very general creative person, so I'll just like make 100 ideas. And then, like,
Amelie's very good at editing things and making them refined and stuff.
And fixing, yeah. Like, a lot of times yeah. John will come with, like, one verse and a chorus, and then I will write the second verse and the bridge, for instance, together. And sometimes when we're in, like, a songwriting session with someone else, then I usually take lead on
lyrics,
a lot of things.
Yeah.
And I always change the melody no matter what.
Yeah, yeah, probably. Because, like, I'm not as, like, I'm not a singer first, so, like, she makes it to fit her voice and fit
right.
the types of things she does melodically normally.
Okay.
So she'll change that up and stuff as well.
Love. Yeah. She's waving you off like you're saying you're a tremendous singer. Oh, okay. I thought you were saying get out of here. You're not the singer. 7,000 Apart is here in the studio. John and Amelie are here playing. They just played their new song Fever. And what do you guys like to play better, the rockers, or do you like to do ballads, or what's your favorite? What is your favorite stuff to sing, Amelie, and what is your favorite stuff to play, John?
I like anything that gets an emotional reaction. Okay. So whether that is like I can see when people tap their foot, I can see when people like get really happy, like oh we're playing their favorite song, or but I also love when people cry. Like, you know, because then I know I've reached them.
Yeah.
And I feel like that is like, that's what art is supposed to be. It's supposed to create feelings. And so anytime people have an emotional reaction, I'm really happy.
Yeah. I mean, I think first, like we both do music because we like to entertain people and like communicate with people.
Yeah.
And that's like the main reason we do music. So I would agree that like whatever communicates best with an audience, like, maybe you don't play the ballad in a bar, but also maybe you do. Like we just changed one of our ballads into this song that starts out really slow and then ends up being the biggest song that we have, like
super big.
For energy level. So like I think it's more about like communication, and then it's more also about like what's fun to play. Like
yeah,
for me,
right.
Fun to sing and like
great answer.
It can be either, you know.
Yeah, we love playing with the band, obviously.
Yeah,
like they're
is, yeah.
they bring so much energy and they're just so fun to have around. So like, yeah.
That's fantastic. Do you guys want to try to get another song in before the break?
Yeah, sure.
We
can do that.
What are you thinking?
Let's do our next single. Mm-hmm. It's coming out August 7th.
Okay.
We're only releasing on the 7th. From now on.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's good luck, right?
You like sevens for some reason.
That sounds like a song too. All right. John and Amelie, 7,000 Apart.
Another long distance one.
Sweet.
I left my favorite jacket in the backseat of your Saab from 94. It's not something I've done before. What was I thinking? Cause I don't even know the person you left behind. I wanted you to have it. Was it a dream or did we wake up? Was it a break or did we break up? Nights in your jeans where we made up over and over and over again. Was it a dream? Was it a dream? You left your college hoodie on it. Not sure why I won't survive another goodbye. No, what were we thinking? Cause I don't even know the person you are left behind. Now we're 4,000 miles apart. Did you leave your heart with me? Cause you wanted me to have it. Was it a dream? Or did we wake up? Was it a break? Or did we break up? Nights in your jeans when we made up over and
7,000 apart. Was it a dream? Is that what it's called? Was it a dream? All right. We'll have a few more minutes with John and Amelie coming up after this very, very short break. Don't go away, folks. I'm going to tell you who's on tomorrow night, too, when we come back. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the 7,000 apart show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Go!
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, folks. This is a fun, this is about as much fun as people can have on a Tuesday night. I don't want to speak. I know it's my show. That sounds like bragging, but my thanks to Mike Schmidt, who was on earlier, always very funny. Thank you for all your texts, and thank you to 7,000 Apart. We have a few more minutes with these guys, John and Amelie, who are in the studio and always rock the place. It's so much fun when you guys are here. And we've got a couple more texts. We should probably bang this out, too, before we go back into the music. Bridget from the 818 says, regarding Henry. What is that, like our fifth regarding Henry?
I think that's the winner tonight.
I think it is, and I haven't even seen it. So, John, you have a favorite Harrison Ford movie?
It's so hard because I love, like, I literally have a Star Wars tattoo, as you can see here. Can you tell?
Yeah. So does he. Yeah. Show him yours, Con.
Yeah, I just got it.
Nice.
Like, I'm a huge Star Wars fan, but it's just like, in Indiana Jones, like, it's just, you know, he's the main guy.
It's pretty fun.
Like,
yeah,
it's so good. Like, I don't know. Those are like the main ones. I haven't seen all of his other like, catalog, but I just like Indiana Jones is so good.
He's just one of those guys that makes good movies. He's got a couple clunkers, like, but guys like him and Tom Cruise, they just know how to pick a movie. And he's had a great career. So that's a good answer. Tomorrow night on the show, folks, Civic Media Sports Authority, Mike Clemens will be here. We haven't talked sports in a while, so it'll be fun to have Mike on the show at 6:35. And then our pal and the legendary founder of Let Me Be Frank Productions here in Green Bay, Frank Hermans, will be here in the studio. And he always brings his guitar, too. Do you guys know Frank?
Oh, yeah. He's a great friend. I actually took singing lessons when I was here as an exchange student. I took singing lessons from Amy. His wife,
yeah.
And
yeah.
And then I was in one of their shows when I first
moved
here.
No way. Yeah. Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, I played Marianne in like a thing. Yeah, it was
like
great.
Like Gilligan's Island?
Yeah, Gilligan Isles thing. Sweet. Yeah, it was great.
He's great. Frank is always fun.
He's wonderful.
Just like you guys. You're all some of my favorite guests. So it's great to have you here. 7,000 Apart is in the studio. And so what was I going to ask you guys? All right. Do you have, first of all, how was Summerfest? Because I almost forgot to ask you that.
Insane.
Really?
Absolutely.
Tell me
insane.
About it.
I mean, it's the biggest stage we've ever been on, I think.
Yeah.
This was the US Cellular stage. Like, you can see it from the highway. Like, that's how big this stage is. Yeah. Like, how insane.
Was it scary?
I was actually not nervous.
I was just so excited and just had fun. It was like, there were like 10 people behind stage, like, helping out to make it happen. And it's like, that doesn't happen for us. Normally, we have to do everything.
We normally have to set up all the speakers and all the lights, and we just showed up.
Just showed up and did our thing for an hour and left.
We had a backstage area. Like, we had a little green room. Like,
there's a bathroom.
Free water.
It was amazing.
Come on.
There was free water as well. Incredible.
So that's the biggest venue you've played. You played for an hour. Did you do all original stuff or some covers?
Basically, yeah. We did like three covers,
so
maybe,
great.
I think.
Yeah.
But it was great. We worked with a live stagecoach from Nashville and
the same week
for rehearsing.
So we felt really ready and just excited to show people the new
stuff
we've
been working
on. That's
like one of the biggest music festivals in the world.
Yeah.
What a thrill.
I know.
Where are you guys at in terms of, I'm sure you'd like to have those guys setting up for you and doing all that stuff and get to that stage, but you make your living at this. And it's a grind, I'm sure, at times, but... You're still on the rise, right? I mean, you guys put out new music and you're building your, you know, following and all that kind of stuff. Are you surprised it's taken this much work? Or are you like, oh, this hasn't been that bad? We're still, you know.
I think every day's different.
Okay.
And I think we've come to, like, at least I have, to a point where I'm like, wow, I get to do what I love for a living.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's tough. Like, it's not like we are swimming in money. In any shape, form, but I get to do what I love, and I could do this for the next 20, 30, 40 years. Do you know what I mean? Like, because I feel like Wisconsin is also like so fine when it comes to age. Like we have so many like friends and people we look up to that have been on the grind for that many years.
Yeah.
And they're still doing
killing
it.
They're still doing it. They're still getting booked. You know? So there's not like, I think when I was in my younger 20s, I was more concerned about my age, especially being a woman in the music industry. I was like, oh, we gotta get our big break now, or otherwise it's too late. Right. But now I'm more like, wow, we've come this far. We're growing every single year, and like nothing is stopping us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And people don't care about our age. They just want to have a good time.
They want to be rocked.
Yeah. Yeah. And honestly, we normally get that.
Put new music out and like, yeah. I mean, that's. Yeah. That's so great. So you're here. You've got all these dates between now and September. We got lucky and got you in here on a night off. But when do you head back to Sweden?
Early September, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like September 3rd, I think. And then we're playing a wedding on September 5th, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. Sweden.
So yeah, it's going to be busy. But
it'll be fun.
We're excited. It's going to be nice to be back too.
I think it's great. And I love having you guys here. You're one of my favorites. And one of these nights when I'm not working, I'll have to actually come out and see you play a whole set.
Yeah.
I get these snippets, which are great and a lot of fun.
Yeah, you get
But I would love to come see a whole set sometime.
Oh my gosh, you'd love the band too. Like come out to a band show and just, then you get like the full experience.
Do you guys want to play us out?
We can play you out.
All right, 7,000 Apart. John and Amelie are here. Catch them. Go. Where should people go? Just 7,000apart.com?
7,000apart.com or Instagram, Facebook.
They're a great follow.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And thank you again to Mike Schmidt. On behalf of the lovable producer Conrad, I'm Peach Wabba saying goodnight, Wisconsin. Here's 7,000 Apart playing us out.
Tripping on words like it's a tightrope. Running in circles, I might explode. Kept on a launch line, my head spinning. Tiptoe around, it's not a fair game. It's my understanding that I'm insane. Driving me wild, why would you ask this? I'm waking up from my delusion. Told myself I wanted you in that way. Contorting myself into a locked cage. It's time that I break it to the main stage. Follow my lead, let's walk out to the spot.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.